VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we're so glad you've joined us here on this Thanksgiving Eve day for Crosstalk. Just wanted to let you know the next couple of days we'll not be having live broadcast. Tomorrow, as we promised yesterday, we will be rebroadcasting our Thanksgiving call-in program, focusing in on Crosstalk listeners giving thanks here for Thanksgiving 2020. That will be airing tomorrow. And then, Lord willing, on Friday, we want to bring back for you the program that the interview we conducted with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus at Moody Church, as he spoke on the topic, We Will Not Be Silenced, a brand new book that he has released, and we will re-air that program, Lord willing, this Friday on Crosstalk. If you missed it, folks, you've got to hear the interview with Erwin Lutzer. Powerful interview, and it's a powerful book that is also available here at half off through our VCY bookstore here for a limited time. So listen in Friday afternoon to Crosstalk on VCY America. We trust that you and your family will have a very blessed Thanksgiving time. Today on the program, we are going to be bringing together a number of stories. We're having a news roundup. It's kind of early in the week, I know, but there is so much that is taking place, and Sandy has been busy getting stories ready here for us today and want to share these with you. Certainly, as we thank the Lord here and remember to give thanks on Thanksgiving time, let's pray for our country as well. Well, this should come as no shock, but it does come as a shock because we see things happening so fast across our nation. This is from WND.com. A Joe Biden presidency would help propel the World Economic Forum's globalist Great Reset plan to use the coronavirus pandemic to transform the world's economy, according to former Secretary of State John Kerry and European Commissioner President Ursula von der Leyen. Kerry said Biden is ready to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which would help drive the Great Reset, Breitbart News reported. Breitbart editor James Dellingpool described the Great Reset as a plan in which unelected global bureaucrats abolish money, private property, and democracy to create a new world order. Kerry said that rejoining the Paris Agreement, with which critics say would kill more than 1 million American jobs, is not enough. He said, Kerry said, I know Joe Biden believes this. It's not enough just to rejoin the agreement for the United States. It's not enough for us to just do the minimum of what it requires. The Biden administration will focus on every sector of the American economy, he said. In June, Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, presented the plan, writing that the COVID-19 lockdowns may be gradually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects is only intensifying. He warned that a sharp economic downturn has already begun, and we could be facing the worst depression since the 1930s. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions, Klaus said. Every country, from the United States to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Folks, we warned about this months ago. Alex Newman was on here, other programs warning about this great reset, and now they see this in their ability to make it happen. The European Commission looks forward to the U.S. rejoining the Paris Agreement, calling Biden a friend in the White House. Well, folks, he's not there yet, and the jury is still out on that matter. But they anticipate working with Washington to write a new rule book for the digital economy and the digital society. Hear that? The digital economy and the digital society. Now, some of you may think, hey, this is years down the road. But folks, if there is a change in presidency, if there is a change that takes place, you saw how fast things went here in 2020. Guess how fast they're going to go in 2021 if this administration changes. They say so, covering everything from data to infrastructure, from also talking about security and democracy, technology to fair taxation. All of these are topics on the table with digital change. So, ladies and gentlemen, the need for global cooperation and this acceleration of change will both be driven of the drivers of the Great Reset, and I see this as an unprecedented opportunity. Breitbart noted that Biden already has adopted the Build Back Better slogan that the World Economic Forum used for the Great Reset. Yeah, so when you hear Joe Biden say Build Back Better, that's not unique to him. I know he plagiarized before, but this is a slogan that the World Economic Forum uses for the Great Reset. So when you hear Build Back Better, that's as if he is saying Great Reset. Keep that in mind. Now, Daily Caller also pointing out this week, Chinese President Xi Jinping wants other nations to adopt a coronavirus tracking system that uses QR codes to track travel during the pandemic. Speaking at the virtual G20 Leaders Summit this past Saturday, Xi said that the nations need to harmonize policies to track those infected with the coronavirus. China has proposed a global mechanism on the mutual recognition of health certificates based on nucleic acid test results in the form of internationally accepted QR codes, Xi said. China introduced the use of QR-based health certificates earlier this year. According to CNN, the system uses a QR code to store data on a person's travel and health history. The software also designates a color to each person that dictates whether they should be quarantined or allowed out in public spaces, according to the New York Times. People sign up through the wallet app Alipay, and they are assigned either green, yellow, or red. The New York Times found that once a user grants the software access to their personal data, that the report info and location to police part of the program reportedly sends a person's location, city name, and identifying code number to a server, but users are reportedly not aware that the app is connected to the police. China isn't the only nation to use a coronavirus tracking app. Japan introduced the contact confirming application, which was designed by Microsoft this year, according to Reuters. Singapore also using a tracing app called Trace Together. Now, friends, all of these things are gelling together. Now, some time ago when people said, oh, there's going to be this individual, the Antichrist, who's going to deliver this mark that you'll not be able to buy or sell without it, and people poo-pooed that saying that will never happen, never happen. People will never give that up. Look what is happening right now before our very eyes. In the words of Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who's been on this program before, he said that God is setting the stage for a Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Let's go to townhall.com. Hours after President Trump approved the official transition process for Joe Biden, he took to Twitter to say the decision does not mean he's conceding. Despite many interpreting it that way, there's a lot of media that's reported that President Trump has conceded. He said, what does GSA being allowed to preliminary work with the Dems have to do with continuing to pursue our various cases on what will go down as the most corrupt election in America political history? We're moving full speed ahead, he said, pointing to the allegations of voter fraud. We will never concede to fake ballots and Dominion, the president added. Now, friends, I don't know if you caught this, but just within the last couple of hours, a Pennsylvania judge today blocked certification of the results of the 2020 election in the state of Pennsylvania until her court holds a hearing Friday in a case brought on by Republican lawmakers and candidates. Pennsylvania announced certification of its vote yesterday, but Commonwealth Judge Patricia McCullough and ordered the state to halt any further actions in the certification of the presidential race and all the other election results. Mark Elias, a top Democratic attorney, called the lawsuit frivolous and absolutely shameful. Well, the judge wrote today that the Pennsylvania officials are barred from certifying the remaining results of the election pending the evidentiary hearing. That is scheduled, as of this point, to take place on this Friday. So, again, that is happening in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, also, Nevada, WND.com reporting a judge in Nevada has scheduled an evidentiary hearing in a case brought by Republicans alleging vote fraud in the 2020 presidential election that robbed President Trump of victory. Judge James Russell of the First Judicial District Court said the complaint will be heard December 3rd, that is next week, challenges the machine used in Clark County, just the news News reports. Joe Biden won by 23,000 votes, but the Trump campaign has alleged thousands of provable instances of vote fraud that would be enough to overturn the result. We now believe that Donald Trump won Nevada. Once you take out the fraud and irregularities, said Trump campaign attorney Jesse Binnall in a Fox Business interview. And these are instances of dead people voting in multiple jurisdictions. The judge will allow as many as 15 witnesses to be deposed. Okay, so that's Nevada. There's Pennsylvania. Also being reported here today, this is a story from WND.com. In a blockbuster video witness statement, a poll challenger who was at the vote tabulating center in Detroit, Michigan, election night, described dozens of incidents of fraud of various kinds during the count, including early morning dump of ballots for Joe Biden. This is Artisa Borner, confirmed that no one has paid her to speak out. She said, this is volunteer. This is for justice. This is to go all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to, because I saw what I saw. I made notes, and justice needs to be served. In her testimony, she recounts hearing an announcement of 50 boxes arriving at 4 a.m. that turned out to be ballots for Joe Biden. Also hearing that the Biden ballot dump was counted and processed in an impossibly short amount of time. Witnessing officials tamper with vote tabulators, ballot harvesting operations by a local church, poll workers overriding the votes and changing Trump votes to Biden. She's attesting to all this. Poll workers refusing to count Trump votes. Poll workers bringing in luggage and boxes that could have contained illegal ballots. Why do you have to take a trunk or luggage or boxes with you to the polling place? GOP poll challengers being ejected from observing the vote count, and the list goes on of what she is testifying to. WND.com also reporting that a national organization has filed an emergency petition with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, asserting it has identified 150,000 potentially fraudulent ballots in the state's presidential election, which Biden unofficially won by 20,000 votes. On Tuesday, the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society said the number of ballots in question is more than enough to challenge the validity of the state's reported election results. More to come out on that issue. Matter of fact, Western Journal also reporting a recount of votes in the battleground state of Wisconsin has unearthed hundreds of uncounted and unopened absentee ballots in the battleground state. The discovery of 386 ballots that was not counted election day will do little to help the president close the deficit, but the AP reported the unopened ballots were found underneath already counted ballots in Milwaukee. The mistake was attributed to human error. Let's go into the Epoch Times. Thousands of people registered and voted in Georgia using addresses of postal facilities or businesses, but making it look like they were residential addresses, according to a former Trump campaign official whose team analyzed the state's voter data. Nearly all of those who disguised a postal facility as their residential address used an absentee ballot to vote. Georgia election law says that the residence of any person should be held to be in that place in which such person's habitation is fixed without any present intention of removing therefrom. Anyone who knowingly gives false information when registering as an elector can be charged with a felony, put in prison for up to 10 years, or fined up to $100,000, the law says. Friends, we're going to take a quick break here on this Roundup Day, and we're going to come back to talk about, COVID. I guess that's the other topic of 2020. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, fossils are found in some pretty strange places sometimes, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are, Chris. Usually they're found entombed in sedimentary rock, which originally was sediments that were laid down by moving water, but since then has hardened into stone, allowing the dead things to harden into fossils. But sometimes the fossils are found in truly weird areas. In a place in Britain, mud continually bubbles up out of an underground spring. It's not just water, it's mud. But with the mud often pops up a fossil. It might be a clam or a brachiopod, but it's in a pristine state of preservation. This is weird, but one thing I know is that it fits nicely within the general picture of the Great Flood of Noah's day, the one that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Oh, it's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. A number of issues and stories, probably not getting from the mainstream media, but so glad you could tune in and listen to the broadcast here today. You are well informed as you tune in to Crosstalk. By the way, with all this talk going on, the Great Reset and all that's taking place, we've invited Gary Kaa to come back on the program. Lord willing, he'll be with us next Thursday and discussing a number of issues that are going on since you heard him speak. We had that two-day presentation. We've had so many requests for that. They're all out. Our team is all caught up on these orders getting out, but a lot of shocking information that he presented. And I know that many will benefit from his coming back with us, Lord willing, next Thursday on Crosstalk. Fox News reporting that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is considering shortening the current coronavirus quarantine timeline from 14 days to between 7 and 10 days. That's according to an exclusive Wall Street Journal report. The agency reportedly hopes that the change will inspire more people to comply with the guidelines. An agency spokesperson, though, to the CDC said no such changes had been finalized. CDC is always reviewing its guidance and recommendations in the light of new understandings of the virus that caused COVID-19 and will announce such changes when appropriate, the spokesperson says. Well, we'll keep our eye on that one as well. Well, let's see here. Interesting story coming out here. Attorneys for Roman Catholic priest and Orthodox Jewish rabbi have filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court, in hopes of curbing New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's ongoing pandemic-related restrictions on houses of worship. This is a report in the Epoch Times. The applicant's previous pleas for relief were denied by a U.S. judge in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, so now they're asking the Supreme Court to address the case. The new application is directed to Justice Samuel Alito. Alito, in his capacity as Circuit Justice for the U.S. Supreme Court here for the U.S. Court of Appeals Third Circuit. Government cannot set up rules that burden places of worship or worship activities that do not pertain to other comparable secular activities, said Christopher Ferrana, special counsel to the Thomas More Society. This is the very crux of religious discrimination and a blatant abuse of the United States Constitution and its amendments. A lot of places have no capacity limits whatsoever, but on the places of worship, they've been limited to 25% capacity. One of their statements came from one of the attorneys said the governor doesn't have the right to decide that worship is non-essential. The founding fathers made specific provisions against it. And a very interesting statement there. Let's go to the state of Oregon. In Oregon, LifeNews.com, you can have cocaine, but not cranberries. Heroin, but no ham. Meth, but not mashed potatoes. Amazingly, a state that just legalized drugs wants to criminalize Thanksgiving. Yeah, you can riot, you can do cocaine, but you can't go to church or can't celebrate Thanksgiving. Governor Kate Brown's orders would force families of seven or more to turn away their own children from the meal. So let me get this straight, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio tweeted, you can be jailed for having too many people over for Thanksgiving, but if you want to riot and loot in Portland, no sweat. I'm not asking you to limit gatherings, the governor said last week. I'm ordering you. Charles Boyle, the governor's spokesperson, was just as threatening. If people aren't going to take this virus seriously, we're prepared to offer consequences. And those consequences that aren't shy to say include jail time. Yeah, let's just herd everybody up and group them in jail cells. Isn't that something? It's okay to go and riot in Portland. You can loot, and we've seen the destruction that has happened there so many times and for so long a period of time. No problem with that. Just don't come together and eat cranberries and turkey on Thanksgiving Day with more than the allotted number of people seated around the table. It gets worse than that as well. Western Journal picks up on the story saying that Oregon Governor Kate Brown is urging her state's residents to call the police. Report your neighbors for violating their strict coronavirus lockdown restrictions on Thanksgiving. The order closes dine-in seating at restaurants, shuts down gyms, museums, and some outdoor facilities, and enacts capacity limits at stores. In addition, Brown's order tells Oregonians how many people they can have inside of their own homes. The governor has asked her state's residents to report their neighbors if they violate the mandate. This is no different than what happens if there was a party down the street and it's keeping everybody awake, Brown told KGW-TV. Call the police and report your neighbors. Folks, it's amazing how far this is going. This is an interesting story about the Western Journal. On Election Day, voters in Jefferson and Union counties, that's in Oregon, passed a referendum to secede from Oregon and affix them to neighboring Idaho, according to the Oregon Public Broadcasting. It's a conservative values situation, stated Mike McCarter, a leader of the group Move Oregon's Borders. It's not necessarily politics, he said. It's urban versus rural. I think the bigger problem people have is the state legislature doesn't listen to rural Oregon. Their policies and decisions are based off the urban people in the Willamette Valley. Rural Oregon is ready. Very similar to, that is, to Idaho communities and counties. The measure approved the support of 51% of voters in Jefferson County, 52.42% in Union. And we understand that the legislature's got to get involved with this. We'll see if that is going to come to pass as well. But people are just tired of it. Here is also from townhall.com. It's not just Oregon. If families in Vermont dare to go to grandma's for Thanksgiving, they can forget about sending their children back to school. According to Governor Phil Scott, schools will be adding new questions to daily health checks about how students spent their holiday. Depending on the answer, kids may have to take online classes for a two-week period or quarantine for a week and then get tested for COVID-19. If negative, they can come back. Twitter users couldn't believe the government was essentially asking kids to rat out their family. So if parents don't report, hey, they're going to ask your kids when they get back to school, how did you spend Thanksgiving? Here's a tweet that went out. So you're asking kids to inform on their parents to the government? Nice. How very Orwellian of you. Another said asking kids to turn on their parents is KGB level wrong. Another said if the children answer yes, do they get an armband as a gift, as a sign of their allegiance? Again, folks, how far are we going to carry this? WND.com. Joe Biden has reportedly picked Jack Sullivan to serve as his national security advisor. Sullivan was a central figure in the Hillary Clinton email saga, having sent and received hundreds of emails housed on the server that contained classified info. As an advisor to Clinton presidential campaign, Sullivan hyped a since-debunked story accusing the Trump administration of having a covert line of communication with Alpha Bank. That story on WND.com. Also, again, this is if a Biden administration comes into play. Western Journal reporting Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, who managed the Biden campaign, has been selected to serve as the White House Deputy Chief of Staff. In an October 2019 video, she states, "We are actually the only campaign with a plan that supports mandatory buyback of weapons of war. An assault weapon ban is a very, very important. We need to have it, but it only takes weapons of war off the street in the future. It does nothing for weapons of war that are currently out there, and I think that's 15 or 16 million. So in a report, she emphasizes a passage where a group calls for a federal ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, as well as a national gun buyback and disposal program. This is a mandatory buyback program. Biden's campaign has called for giving owners of assault weapons or high-capacity magazines the option to either sell their weapons to the government or register them with the BATF under the expansion of the National Firearms Act. Well, Breitbart takes us a step further to alert us that Joe Biden's proposed gun control policy includes a provision that would require every AR-15 rifle be registered under the National Firearms Act of 1934 unless there was some form of carve-out that would mandate the American gun owners pay a $200 federal tax per AR-15 that they own. The NRA's low-end estimate of privately owned AR-15s in the U.S. is 18 million. A tax of $200 on 18 million AR-15s means that gun owners would potentially be required to pay a collective $3.6 billion in taxes if this policy were enacted into legislation. That figure does not even consider other guns that might be deemed assault weapons by them, which could also fall under the same provisions of the National Firearms Act. Let's go to FoxNews.com. Joe Biden Monday announced the number of key cabinet appointments, including Antony Blinken as Secretary of State, Alejandro Mayorkas as Secretary of Homeland Security, and Arvel Haines to serve as the first woman to lead the intelligence community, among other positions. Biden also on Monday announced former Secretary of State John Kerry as special presidential envoy for climate and will sit on the National Security Council, the first time that the NSC will include an official dedicated to climate change. Kerry's position, not a cabinet post. Guess what? It would not need to be confirmed by the Senate. Biden also announced that Jake Sullivan will serve as a White House National Security Advisor, making him one of the youngest people to serve in that role. Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who will be nominated as U.N. ambassador, would be a cabinet position in the Biden administration. Also, while running the State Department during President Barack Obama's term, Kerry placed a key role in negotiating the Paris Climate Accord. The work we began with the Paris Climate Agreement is far from done, Kerry said. In a tweet, I'm returning to government to get America back on track to address the biggest challenge of this generation and those that will follow. The climate crisis demands nothing less than all hands on deck. After returning to private life, Kerry co-founded the climate group World War Zero to promote public policies on the environment. Kerry also negotiated the U.S.-led multilateral Iran nuclear agreement the Trump administration withdrew from that pact as well. A Western Journal reporting that Democratic hopeful Joe Biden is reportedly considering former Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland for the position of Attorney General. Looking at DailyWire.com, Joe Biden announced during an NBC News interview that aired Tuesday evening that he will immediately move to give citizenship to millions of illegal aliens once he gets into office in 2 months. He said, I'm going to make a commitment in the first 100 days. I will send an immigration bill to the U.S. Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America. I will also be moving to do away with some of the, I think, very damaging executive orders that have significantly impacted on making the climate worse and making us less healthy. He's already pledged to dramatically increase the number of refugees that he admits into the U.S. from the 15,000 under President Donald Trump to 125,000, nearly 10 times over. Biden has also pledged to end the Trump administration's travel ban on nations that are considered to be hotbeds of terrorism. Coming from WND.com, a state court in Indiana struck down a sanctuary plan for illegal aliens implemented by the city of Gary because it violates state law. Let's see. Townhall.com. Senator Bernie Sanders joined Democrats in supporting John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock in Georgia's pair of Senate runoff elections coming up in January. In a tweet, he said, this is what Georgia Senate runoff elections mean. Strong COVID relief, $15 minimum wage, expanded health care, tackling climate change, addressing systemic racism and immigration reform, and removing Mitch McConnell as majority leader. Let's do it. Well, Senator Perdue and Loeffler responded to their colleague, saying radical socialist Democrats like Bernie Sanders see our state as a vehicle to take complete control of Congress and force their dangerous agenda on the American people, Perdue tweeted. And Loeffler tweeted out, this is what Georgia's Senate runoffs actually mean. Stopping your agenda of record tax increases, permanent lockdowns, socialized medicine, packing the court, Green New Deal, and defunding the police. We're going to take another quick break. I've got some more stories I'd like to share with you following. Lord willing, we'll have some time to open up phone lines today as well. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
As the end of the age draws near, the signs of the times will be impossible to ignore. Millions of people will suddenly be reported missing. A new world superpower will eclipse the United States. A global economy. The Middle East crisis will finally appear to be resolved as a world leader comes on the scene. A rebuilt Jewish temple to be usurped by the Antichrist. The Bible indicates that these and several other startling events will lead up to the fulfillment of the greatest prophecy of all, the visible, physical, and triumphant return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In the book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, Bible prophecy speaker Dr. Ed Heinsohn presents each of these events and how these events should impact people today. VCY America is offering one copy of the book for a donation of $16, or two copies for a donation of $25. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for 15 future events that will shake the world. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America on this Thanksgiving Eve day. So glad you could join us today. And again, trust you and your family will have a blessed Thanksgiving. Just want to continue with a few more stories. There's some things that you just need to know about, and we'll be covering a number of these. By the way, Nikki Haley is asking AOC how she's going to pay for this Green New Deal when she wants to pay people not to work. AOC is pressuring former Vice President Joe Biden to keep his promise on this Green New Deal, couple trillion dollars. So she's joined by members of the squad, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and other leftists at a press conference outside the DNC. And she said, OAC said, we're winning, it's working, it's happening, and we're going to secure our future. We're going to secure the basic tenets of a Green New Deal, a multi-trillion jobs program for climate, for environmental, racial, gender, and class justice. The same day she tweeted, to get the virus under control, we need to pay people to stay home. Well, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley tweeted out, AOC, are you suggesting you want to pay people to stay home from the money you take by defunding the police? Or was that for the student debts you wanted to pay off, the Green New Deal or Medicare for all? Where's the money? Haley tweeted out. Los Angeles has just crossed the 300 homicides for the first time in over a decade. Stories on FoxNews.com as the LA Times reported Sunday. Four killings from Saturday into Sunday morning has propelled them to the 300 death mark for the first time since 2009. This is a city that has been bent on defunding the police. Here's from Los Angeles Magazine. If you happen to be in a traffic accident in the city of Los Angeles in the near future, and it's a minor collision with no crime perpetrated by a driver, then forget about having the LA Police Department send a patrol car to the scene. Instead, you'll be directed to an online portal. Once there, you'll find a form to fill out. This is just a result of the $150 million reduction in the LAPD budget that the City Council and Mayor Eric Garcetti authorized in the wake of the racial justice protests during the spring. According to Chief Michael Moore, hundreds of positions as well as a variety of services and investigative units stand to be lost or diminished as the department focuses on maintaining patrol and core community functions. He appeared before the Los Angeles Police Commission. He said that their ranks, which formerly amounted to 10,100 sworn officers, has shrunk to 9,854 and will be reduced to 9,750 by March or April of next year. How can a city with this much crime, folks, all of a sudden lose, 350 sworn officers? The cutbacks are also impacting the roster of civilian employees as well, by another 150 to 200 employees there. He also said that the unit that focuses on sexual assault will be dissolved. Additionally, the city's police department will take on standing, stations will take on something resembling bank hours. Desk operations will be restricted to Monday through Friday business hours. Amazing. Hiring freeze may force them to shut down some jails in some of the police areas as well. Don't you feel safer? WND.com, the U.S. announced on Sunday that it has left a treaty that allowed Russia to conduct unarmed reconnaissance flights over the U.S. It's the Open Skies Treaty. It was negotiated in 1992 and allowed each country signing the treaty in 2002 the right to observe the others. Well, irked by the limitations that Russia imposed on America when it sought to conduct surveillance over Russia, the Trump administration decided earlier this year, we're going to pull out of this treaty. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that ending the treaty was a matter of common sense. Western Journal reporting that the U.S. has an extra layer of defense against incoming ICBMs, that's intercontinental ballistic missiles, after the U.S. Navy made history with its first successful downing of an ICBM in space from a warship during a recent test. The test came weeks after North Korea introduced its largest yet ICBM at a military parade. Although the missile has not been tested, the BBC reported that it has potential to reach America's east coast. The successful test took place last week Tuesday, according to the Missile Defense Agency. In the test, a missile was fired from the Ronald Reagan Ballistic Missile Defense Test Site that's across the Pacific Ocean northeast of Hawaii. The weapon system allows simultaneous air warfare and ballistic missile defense capability, according to the U.S. Navy. Trouble for Christian schools ahead if a Biden administration comes into play. Epoch Times reporting that former Vice President Joe Biden is being urged by the Human Rights Campaign, if he becomes president, to sign an executive order. Now, HRC is a gay advocacy, a homosexual advocacy group that wants Biden to mandate that religious schools that discriminate or that do not meet so-called science-based curricula standards, that they should lose their accreditation. A Southern Baptist leader said that this would mean abandoning biblical standards for teaching, hiring, admissions, housing, and student life would mean that Christian schools are no longer Christian, and said this would be an atomic bomb on Christian schools. So the HRC is recommending this accreditation change in their Blueprint for Positive Change, a 24-page document. We spoke about this with Peter LaBarbera. But this is something to pull accreditation of Christian schools without, quote, science-based curricula standards. NewAmerican.com, Alex Newman reporting that lawmakers in New Jersey considering legislation that would ban textbooks that are not in a database approved by the radical homosexual and transgender activists, sparking alarm about religious liberty and government indoctrination of children. It's in New Jersey. It's S1512. Don't have time to go into that further right now. Let's get onto this. Oh, yeah, Hallmark, the Hallmark Channel, all these Christmas movies. Did you see what happened last Sunday? The Christmas House that premiered November 22nd follows, quote, husband Brandon Mitchell and fellow husband Jake seeking to adopt a child during the holiday season. Thomas Reuters Foundation, earlier this month, Norway's parliament outlawed hate speech against transgender and bisexual people, expanding its penal code, which has protected gay and lesbian people since 1981. People found guilty of hate speech face a fine of up to a year in jail for private remarks, and a maximum of 3 years in jail for public comments, according to the penal code. The activist mommy reports, Elizabeth Johnson, that USA Gymnastics, the official governing body for competitive gymnastics in the U.S., has released new inclusion policies for athletes who identify as trans or non-binary. Among these new policies, which they claim are based on, quote, current medical science and are consistent with anti-discrimination legislation, is the removal of any requirements for surgical sex reassignment, legal gender recognition, and hormone therapy to participate in the discipline that aligns with their gender identity. Trans or non-binary athletes are also no longer required to apply to compete as the gender they identify as, and one assumes based on what else is no longer required of them will be accepted with no questions asked. Here is from the USA Gymnastics. This is usagym.org. Their new policy for transgender and non-binary athlete inclusion. The policy makes several changes to the 2015 policy, including, I'm reading verbatim, transgender athletes no longer need to apply to participate in the discipline that aligns with their gender identity. Surgical sex reassignment, legal gender recognition, and hormone therapy requirements have been removed. Guidance for non-binary athletes has been added. Educational resources have been incorporated within the policy to help build a more informed community. USA Gymnastics' updated policy will apply to nearly all member athletes. World.wng.org reporting Washington State erasing parents from the equation. Since January, children in Washington State ages 13 and up can obtain confidential treatment for mental health conditions and gender dysphoria using their parents' insurance plan without their parents' consent. Now the state is considering a bill to set up health clinics on middle and high school campuses. Parents fear that these clinics will take children into dangerous and irreversible medical treatments such as puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones to make their bodies look more like the opposite sex. In many states, including Washington, teenage girls may already leave classes to get an abortion or obtain contraceptives without parental knowledge. Exceptions to parental consent laws in some states have steadily expanded to include gender-affirming care. Also, from Christian Post, health departments in several states might be in violation of federal law for promoting anonymous sex text hotlines aimed at minors. Family advocacy groups have warned. A number of organizations nationwide drawing attention to these services. One is called, I'm not going to give you the name of the text line. Let me do it. It's Birds and Bees. It's got a different writing for it, but it's a text line used in Virginia. They're funded through the Title V grants. The grants are designed for abstinence education or education exclusively on sexual risk avoidance. But this sex text line is clearly not providing sexual abstinence education and thereby represents at best an obvious misuse of federal funds or worse, a flat-out violation of federal law, said Victoria Cobb, president of the Family Foundation of Virginia. I've got a few more stories, but let me get you on some phone lines here. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. What do you think of that? John Kerry talking about a Biden presidency opens the door to this globalist great reset? Very concerning indeed. That was our top story here today. Also coming to us from CBN News, Kirk Cizik, he preached a message that he says led to his dismissal from the military. We've got a 30-year military chaplain fired from the Air Force. What was his crime? His biblical views on sexual morality. He says he'd never been punished for preaching a sermon until he preached it to recruits in 2013 at Lackland Air Force Base, including scripture about sexual immorality. He said the message was about sin that we don't think is that bad. If you're having sex with somebody that you're not married to, then you need to stop, he said. I know sometimes the Christian church has gotten the reputation for being prejudiced because we just look at one sin, like homosexuality, and then we turn a blind eye and don't say anything about heterosexual sin. He said, that's hypocritical. My performance reports were downgraded. My promotion recommendations were downgraded. I got passed over for promotion twice and involuntarily separated from the Air Force in 2016. And actually, Cizik is calling, asking citizens concerned about his plight to email the White House on his behalf. You'll see his story at cbnnews.com. Good news out of Tennessee. They cannot enforce a federal appeals court ruled last Friday that Tennessee can begin outlawing abortion because of a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome, as well as prohibit the procedure if it's based on the race or gender of the child. We have seen abortions targeted on those with Down syndrome, or they don't like the race of the child or the gender of the child. Federal appeals court ruled that Tennessee can outlaw abortions because of It was blocked by a lower court. The Sixth Court of Appeals will allow the state to enforce the reason bans while abortion rights groups continue their court battle against the law. So some mixed news coming there as this is continuing to propel itself through the courts. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Levi calling from New Mexico. You're on the air, Levi.
Yeah, I have something to share. I would like all Christians, you know, that are pretty much in touch with what's going on to just continue, you know, the faith. And like the word says, he who is clean, clean himself some more, and let those ones that are, have a perverse, a wicked mind, there's a place for that. And again, emphasize, he who is clean, clean himself some more, because we can't change what's coming. And he who is dirty, dirty himself some more, because we cannot change the world. Everybody has their own individual choice to make, and we just got to focus on what we think is right. Well, that's following the good Lord.
Well, okay, Levi, let me just say, no, we can't change, but the Lord can, and the Lord can act change in a life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We find also in 1 Corinthians where he talks about the sin of homosexuality, saying, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're cleansed. There's cleansing that's found in Jesus Christ. That's a changed life. Thank you for your call. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. My friends, the globalists, the communists, the Marxists, the internationalists, the statists, whatever you want to call them, the change agents, they have stolen America through a long march through the institutions. Just as we have been warning for years, as Herbert Marcuse said, they would do, the cultural Marxist, a long march through the institutions. And they've destroyed many of them. They've destroyed a trust by the American people in the institutions that have made America great and upheld our constitutional republic. They've destroyed institutions like the U.S. Congress, the FBI, the CIA, the military, our voting system, religious institutions, the legal system. They have put in people to destroy the credibility of these institutions. So the American people now, many of them don't even trust the vital institutions that they knew were on guard to defend the republic. And now we, the American people, don't trust those institutions. That's by design, folks. They're winning through their long march through the institutions.
News Roundup Day here today. Let's go right back to the phone lines for our final segment. Chris is on the road. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say, whether you're Christian, you know, anything, the evidence is irrefutable what's going on in America, you know, about the reset and everything. I think everyone should be scared, and I think everyone should be well-informed, and I appreciate you guys for informing the American people about this.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at what they are proposing in this great reset, is it a total turning the world over, so to speak, and it's a total destruction of capitalism, and it's taking control over such things as private property and certainly travel, the whole economy. It is all part of their great reset. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you.
Richard in Oconomowoc, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I remember before the election, you had a program on, and people called in and they weren't going to vote for our president because they didn't like his attitude. I hope they can learn to live with what's coming down the pike, because now this is more destructive. Like you said, voting wrong has some serious consequences. How can a Christian vote for an individual that's for abortion, for same-sex marriage, for all the things that's biblically wrong? He needs to go back and read the Bible and repent of his sin. So thank you for taking my call. Keep up the great work. God bless.
Thank you, Richard, for your call today. Gene is next in Michigan. Gene, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a set on my mind that, I mean, the choice was now during this election, capitalism or communism. Well, it looks like it's going for the communism, and that's sad to see that. But, you know, God is still on the throne, and he's taking care of his Christians. And praise the Lord. And I love VCY, so keep it up, boys. Do a good job, Jim.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, thank you.
Monica in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes. I just want to say thank you for all your information, Jim. And also, I want to say that this reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, but it's like 20 times as worse, and it's horrible and horrendous.
Yeah.
And people need to just pray. Just get down on their knees and pray every day for America and President Trump and all the children that have to go through this.
Thank you, Monica. Appreciate your call. Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ann, you're on the air.
Yes, I was going to make a comment. I don't know if people know the true story about the Star Spangled Banner and Francis Scott Key, but that flag was still standing was what the men asked him when he had a lookout. And the reason the flag was still standing was because every time the British bombed it and it was ready to fall, an American ran to that flag and held it up physically. And Christians need to hold up our promise of God's plan. And in, as you say, Jim, every day, keep praying for the right thing to happen and for God's name to be lifted up and President Trump to take his rightful place in office for a second term. But that requires people praying, doing something, or that flag would not have been standing.
Thank you, Ann. Brian is calling from Cambridge. Hi, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I just want your opinion. I hope you're allowed to give it. I was just wondering, your past guest seems to believe that Donald Trump will be the next president. What do you think?
I really do not know where things are going to go with this whole thing. We see a number of cases that are going on. Yes, we have many guests who have talked about this being a stolen election. Not sure how the outcome is going to happen in several of the states. One state has the evidentiary hearing this Friday. Another one has hearings next week taking place. I rest knowing God's in control. I continue to be praying for this. The evidence I have seen is remarkable, you know, that have come through Rudy Giuliani and the press conference that he had this past Thursday in particular. The affidavits I have seen, the write-ups of the affidavits here, people testifying, remarkable information as well, as far as what they, I mean, they're willing to go to jail swearing on the statements that they're making about the crimes and things that they saw take place on Election Day and the counting of ballots. And I think it's my opinion that these things need to be looked at and need to be examined. And a number of states are doing that that review of their whole election process. And I believe that's very worthwhile. But what the Inauguration Day is going to hold, only the Lord knows at this point.
All right. Thanks, Jim. That reassures me.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Carrie next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I agree mostly with what's been said, but I do understand that none of us can really say what's going to happen in this election. But I think sometimes as Christians, we forget how much power that we do have in prayer. And I really believe that if we pray and really get a hold of God, that President Trump will prevail and God will vindicate him and give us more time for more people to get saved before he comes back.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate your call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Venice, Florida. Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to encourage everybody, like the last caller, to please, please continue to pray and don't be discouraged, because God's just doing an amazing thing here, and I still believe President Trump is going to win. But I also wanted to say, encourage people to remember to donate to this station and pray for this station also, because so many voices are being censored. It's incredible, all the censoring that's going on right now. So you would have to be a target. We really need to stand in the gap for this station, because I get so much information here that I don't get anywhere else. So thank you. You're doing a great job.
God bless you, Colleen. Thank you for calling. I just want to echo what Colleen said. There are a number of stations. They just provide the airtime for Crosstalk to run, and we so appreciate the stations who have been carrying Crosstalk for a number of years. And we just encourage you, whatever station it is that provides the airtime for Crosstalk, get behind and support them. Many of them having share-a-thons and areas of need, Giving Tuesday coming up here as well. Whatever station provides you the airtime for Crosstalk, make sure you get behind them. Let them know of your thankfulness for carrying the program. Get behind tangibly with your support as well. And yes, we echo what so many have said today, the exercise of prayer for our nation. We will have said before, we'll say it again, prayer for our nation did not end November 3rd, 2020. Continue to keep this nation in your prayers. Many things yet at stake. We don't know the outcome of this election as of yet. We do know God's in control. God sets up and he takes down. He has his divine purposes, and we need to trust in him. May you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk, and trust you'll have a blessed day in the Lord.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.